Gracious God, Easter sings a song of new life. Easter sings a song of love that makes you want to jump out of your chair and run barefoot to the tomb. Easter smells of fresh flowers and baked bread. It sounds like trumpets and laughter. It feels like a crowded table and a warm hug. Yes, Easter sings a different song. So, in a world full of grief, help us to cling to Easter's hope. Help us hear the story of good news. In a world full of grief, we're ready to jump out of our chairs and run barefoot to the tomb. With hope, we pray. With hope, we listen. Amen. Our first scripture reading is Isaiah 65, verses 17 through 25. You can follow along in your pew Bibles on page 1164 or on the screen. See, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight, and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more. Never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. The one who dies at 100 will be thought a mere child. The one who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the work of their hands. They will not labor in vain, nor will they bear children doomed to misfortune. For they will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox, and dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Wow, that Old Testament reading, we long for that, don't we? That was beautiful, and thank you, Brian. Our gospel reading today is from the Gospel of Luke, if you'd like to follow along, and we're in chapter 24, beginning at verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. This is the word of the Lord. So today we conclude our journey through the Gospel of Luke. In fact, I think you started before I even came here as your pastor about 6 weeks ago now. And we've been following along as the disciples have learned from Jesus and had some hard times and had some fun times and some good times, and they've learned what it meant to follow him and what it meant to commit their lives to him. And then just last week, we read how Jesus entered Jerusalem on a colt, kicking off this Holy Week we've just celebrated with shouts of Hosanna in the highest, shouts that quickly became crucify him by week's end. He celebrated a Last Supper with his disciples. He went out to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. He urged his disciples to stay awake during that time. And he was betrayed and he was arrested all that night. He was tried, he was crucified, he hung on a cross, he was placed in a borrowed tomb, and today, deep breath everybody, we read just one of the accounts of his resurrection. Jesus is risen. Love that. What a surprise ending to this story. But not just any story, but a once-in-a-lifetime change your whole life kind of story. My hope is, and there are some of you I don't know, my hope is that you come here today with the belief that Jesus' resurrection can change and will change your whole life. And if it hasn't, it will. It can. Believe in that today. One thing we've considered over the last several weeks are the people around Jesus and the emotion that they carry and the reactions and the judgments and all of that as Jesus has been with people and preached and healed and even predicted his own death on the cross. And so today is no different. In this selection, there's a few different reactions going on, and that children's time was perfect, wasn't it? I was trying to sort, like, I wish I had a smiley face to raise, or that was just perfect for what we read today. So the women go to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body, and finding it empty, they're wondering, as our Bibles say, they're at a total loss here as to what is going on and what has happened. And suddenly, two men appear in dazzling and gleaming clothes, and the women, they're terrified. I'm not sure those faces did it justice down there. They would be terrified. They're hunched over, they're covering their eyes. It's still dark outside, of course, so it would be very bright. And they're confused and upset. And the men there say, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" It's a good question. "He is not here, he has risen." And as these women have been with Jesus throughout this whole journey from Galilee, they're reminded exactly that, oh, he did say that. They had provided for Jesus and his disciples along the way. They'd helped feed them. They had helped clothe them. They had spent time with them. And in chapter 23, we're told they even were at the cross, and they had watched Jesus die. So they're part of his family. Now, you may hear, if you watch TV later on today, or maybe you have a discussion around the dinner table, you know, why did Jesus appear first to these women? I've heard a lot of sermons about that. That's the wrong question. Just the wrong question. The Gospels all agree Jesus appeared to the women first. Let's just put it right out there on the table. These disciples, and I'm going to call the women disciples also, as well as the 12 disciples, they made up Jesus' family. They had spent 3 years together healing people and learning and growing together and doing ministry. And while we're told a whole lot about the male disciples along the way, different things, their families, we're not told much about the women. We don't know much about them. And nor do we have time today, but we do know this would have been like family to them, the crew with Jesus at their head, and it meant everything to them. As I said, I'm thankful you're all here today and that you've made attending HPC today part of your Easter tradition for this year and your celebration. I feel a little off today. I'm not celebrating a lot of my traditions because my kids aren't here. We have four kids, age 20, 16, 16, and 16 in 2 days. 20, 16, 16, 16. They are all out of town, and they are in three different places today, so they're not here. But at Easter, I have always enjoyed being a mom. There was always the Easter bunny's arrival and the Easter baskets, and often the bunny hid them behind, you know, something in the house, and the kids would get up early and have to go find them. And one year, the Easter bunny even left little footprints in the dining room, like, I don't know, like, here she is, a bunny, a girl or a boy, got into sugar or flour, left little footprints. It was really fun. It was difficult balancing having young children and responsibilities at church over the years, but somehow I made it through. And the end of Easter Sunday, I was exhausted. Whatever your family traditions look like today, family is really important to those rituals and to those traditions, especially on a holiday like this one. They are important to the ways that we practice our faith together and we remember together. So for Jesus, these disciples, they were called brothers and sisters. They did everything together. They shared resources, as we will later, and they shared food, as we will in just a little bit. They learned from Jesus. They shared values, what was important to them. And in many cases, they left everything to be with him and to follow him. So when Jesus died, just as when a member of your family or my family dies, they felt they had lost everything. However you define it, family is important at Easter, and as brothers and sisters in Christ, we are to be family. We're called the body of Christ. And because of Easter, we fellowship as the body of Christ. We grow in the entire gospel encompassing Jesus' birth, Jesus' life here, and his teaching, and his healing, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, that is all the gospel. And we need one another as the body of Christ to grow and understand all of those mysterious things. So as we look at this text today, I have three more things we do because of Easter. Usually I'm not so linear. Today I'm trying to make it really clear. That was one. The first was we fellowship because of Easter. We fellowship as the body of Christ. And I've got three more. Looking again at verses 6 and 7. The disciples Mary, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and others with them needed to be reminded, of course, that Jesus predicted all of this was going to happen. He would die, his resurrection, and this was all taking place while they journeyed to Galilee. He said this a few times. And as they thought about their times with Jesus, it was natural, wasn't it, in retrospect, to go, oh yeah, okay, is this what he meant? Verse 7, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Imagine worshiping someone who had not been raised. Doesn't that change the narrative a lot? Each event of that gospel truth is important because Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. Amen? Amen. This is our memory. This is what we've learned. This is our memory and collectively. And what would the gospel be without memory of what he had done? Communities survive because of memory. Our identity as a church here at HPC, or as a church, a Christian Church Universal, is because of our memory. And our memory of what God has done enables us, with the help of the Spirit, to do what we do and to get through our lives and to grow and change and embrace other people. Whereas at Christmas, I can't wait till my first Christmas here, by the way. That's going to be really fun. I have no idea what you all are going to come up with. Knowing you, it could be anything. But where is at Christmas? We celebrate the birth of Jesus, and we have pageants, right? And we have the donkey come in, and this is Mary, and I've got some stories for you. And these are the wise men, and we sing those songs and everything. We don't do that for Easter, do we? Our celebration of Easter feels quite mixed. It's mixed emotions. But we do continue to celebrate it, and we continue to celebrate what's important to us, this resurrection of Christ, with our cloud of witnesses. I don't know if you knew this. I don't think I've shared it yet. I was a pastor's kid. He's not here today. He's the dad in Guatemala with the kids. And thank you for your prayers. They come back tomorrow night. I was a pastor's kid, so there were only maybe like 3 years I can remember in Easter where I was not in a church worship service. I grew up in the church. And I have many Easter memories, including being alongside my grandparents when I was in college and attending a worship service for Easter, and they would still give me a dollar for the offering plate even though I was 19 or 20 years old. Oh, I love that. I love that. Most of these people are part of the cloud of witnesses now, all of my grandparents, as well as my little brother. And while Jay is not here any longer to eat Cadbury eggs with me or send me pictures of bunnies randomly, he was really fun, or trade candy from the Easter baskets, my brother and my grandparents are very much a part of my Easter celebration in my traditions that I practice. Because of Easter, we remember. Because of Easter, we fellowship as the body of Christ, and because of Easter, we remember. So on to verses 9, 10, and 11. The women remember. They go back to tell the other disciples, and they didn't just share what had happened one time and kind of deliver this message. This is the resurrection, people, so this wasn't like just a one-time announcement. The Greek says they were persistent. They were very, very persistent. You can picture they were excited and also kind of scared, and what in the world is going on? And they persistently shared this news with them. They've just lost Jesus 3 days ago, and they've watched it happen. They're in shock, and they're grieving, and quite frankly, they're traumatized. Yet Jesus' tomb is empty. Should they have hope? But they do. Even though hope doesn't seem logical, it doesn't seem possible at this point, they hold these contrasting emotions, grief and hope. And they hold them all at the same time. And what a wonderful group of people and example to show us that that is possible. Grief and hope. When we are grieving and we are desperate, we can still find hope and we can still experience joy in that grief. Paralyzed in grief or terrified or maybe just feeling a tiny bit of hope, that's all you need. This Easter story of resurrection is for each of us here, for all of us. Now, if you're visiting here and you're looking for the Church of the Easy Answer, there are some, and I can tell you which ones they are. This one is not it. I am sorry. It's not it. While the Easter story brings us hope, we know our lives, our journeys are full of grief and loss and really hard things. We don't have all the answers. And as we see in the Gospels, the disciples don't either. They were just like us. Some of them even remain doubtful following Jesus' resurrection. Even after Mary and the others return and they persistently tell those men gathered there what they'd seen, it says the men didn't believe them because their words seemed to them like nonsense. But look at verse 12. There's a however in there. However, Peter, we love Peter, Peter ran to the tomb. Now, why would he have done that if he didn't believe? if he were doubtful. There's a lot of focus on the disciples' reasons for not believing the women, and most people land on, you know, they didn't believe them because they were women. Culturally, they didn't believe them. But I gotta tell you, I've thought about this a lot, and I think this is something we're reading back on the text from our own experience, of course. And it cheapens the gospel. Because no one rises from the dead. I can't think of the last person, can you? No one comes back to life again. And no one is crucified and then in a tomb for 3 days and then alive again. So Peter runs and he sees the empty tomb and he believes. He runs there because he has hope. He believes what the women have said could be possible. Could it be? Peter believed the women, but he continued to ask questions. He needed to verify what happened. And asking questions is part of what we do. It's okay. And as we ask questions of one another, we learn from other people's perspectives as well. Asking questions about what we believe or why or how to live that out in our lives, it's necessary and it's okay. And as the body, as I was saying, we learn and we grow together. There are no easy answers for where we are at in our world today, for why some prayers go unanswered, for why people experience pain, for why there is war, for we could go on and on and on. But I do know that because of the gospel and because of Jesus' suffering and then his resurrection, there is hope. There's even hope for the world. You won't find easy answers here at HPC, but you will find hope. This means when there's pain in my body and it's hurting, there's hope. There's hope for your body. There's hope in my spirit when I'm sad. There's hope for broken relationships. There's hope in humanity. After all, God created us in God's image. There's hope in humanity. There's hope for our children, and there's hope for our grandchildren. And there's hope for the earth. And because of Easter, we worship with hope. That was your third one. Because of Easter, we fellowship as the body of Christ. Because of Easter, we remember. And because of Easter and the Lord's resurrection, we worship with hope. Now, finally, this is the fourth and last. Because of Easter, we testify. Like it? Now, next week, we're going to begin a new series that will take us to Pentecost. It'll be 6 weeks. After that, keep the calendar in front of you. We will begin a new series on Sunday that will invite you to have a chance to testify. Now, that sounds scary, I know. So, what I will be looking for is a few volunteers who want to share their stories about how you came to faith, how you came to know Christ, or maybe something difficult that has happened to you, and how God has sustained you through that time. Be prayerful about it, and if that sounds like something you might be able to do, you might even be able to write it. If you don't want to speak and I'll read it, we'll work it out. Be prayerful about it and let me know. When we testify, we bear witness to what God has done, and I think you all know how this story today turns out, don't you? Luke writes a beautiful gospel and tells us about Jesus' ascension. He's carried up into heaven. It says they worship him and return to Jerusalem with great joy, continually in the temple, praising God. And in Acts, then, Luke continues to write, and their ministry begins. They receive the Holy Spirit, and the word of God, it just begins to spread and spread. Each of you has a story to share. Each of you has something you can testify about where God has been so faithful to you. On Easter Sunday, we testify today through our worship here, without saying a word. You've testified by coming here. We testify by watching those kids come forward and raise their signs, and the angry sign was starting to kind of get agitated. That was totally appropriate. We watch those kids, and we are testifying of our love for God and raising them in that tradition, right? We testify through our meal together today, laughing and sharing and trying some different foods, and it all looks really, really wonderful. I can't wait to eat. We testify by whom we've invited or brought today, because we've asked them to something that's important to us, important to our faith. We testify by the words we've prayed. They were beautiful. The liturgy was beautiful, and the songs that we've sung. And we testify when, as a church, we serve and love this community around us. Lord, we testify today because you have been raised. We are forgiven of our sin. We are saved. Praise be to God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We now have a short time of silence. We'll listen to some music, and I would just invite you to consider, where do you see evidence of Jesus' resurrection today in your own life?